Well, amen. I thank God for that testimony this morning. But behind that testimony, there's, in the gospel, there's an urgency to spread that message. And we too often tend to take it casually when we shouldn't. When the gospel's presented, that may be the last time that person hears the gospel. Isaiah recorded, "Come now, let us reason together." Not next week, not next month, now. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." I like the order of the verse. You know, God always puts things in the right order. In salvation, the first thing that must be addressed are your sins. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." So there's two parts to that. Number one, the acknowledgement of sin and the consequences of sin. And then number two, deliverance from that sin. We see that in the Romans road. For example, point number one, all are sinners. Point number two, the wages of sin is death. So there we see that first point. "Though your sins be as scarlet." Then the second part is, "They shall be as white as snow." That's where Jesus died on the cross, Romans 5:8. "God commendeth his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Then Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be..." That's the second part. But you notice that God always gets things in the right order. Acts chapter 20, verse 21. Paul said, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, that's the first part, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the second part. So you see, it's divided into two parts. Repentance and faith. Without repentance, there's no salvation. And of course, without faith, there's no salvation. But one is as essential as the other. So we see that. But the point I want us to see is the urgency of getting that message out. Too often we're casual in our presentation of the gospel. And we shouldn't be casual in our presentation. It's urgent. Life is at stake. This is a life and death issue. It ought to be treated that way. We talk about the Great Commission. I'm not going to spend much time on that. We've spent a couple of weeks talking about that. Where we've been commanded to go, we've been sent. The Bible says we've been sent. Acts 15, Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit." He chose us to do that. We ought to be doing that. But I want us to talk some this morning about practical issues in soul winning. I believe in soul winning. What was it the verse said? "He that winneth souls is wise." Not he that invites folks to church, not he that passes out tracts, but he that what? Winneth souls to Christ. And that's what this class is about, winning souls to Christ. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. We talked about that. And that tree bears fruit, which produces another tree, which bears fruit, which produces another tree, which bears fruit, which produces another tree. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. So I want to talk this morning some about the practical aspects of winning souls to Christ. If you have a question while we're doing this, and it's on point, raise your hand and we'll try to answer. I was thinking about what the brother's testifying this morning. I was teaching a Sunday school class. This was back in the 70s, you know, in a Baptist church. And I had a group of teenage boys, and I would take those boys soul winning. Every Thursday night, we went soul winning. Till one night, the pastor came to visit me and told me that I shouldn't be doing that. He said, if you want to go out and invite him to church, that's fine, but you leave the soul winning to me. This is what I said to him. I said, if I go out and invite someone to church on Thursday night and Saturday morning they're hit by a truck and killed, what good did I do them? But if I witness to them on Thursday night and they get saved Thursday night and Saturday they get hit by a truck and killed, did I do him some good? Amen. Where is he now? That's right. He's in heaven. That's why we were commissioned to win souls. So when Jesus sent disciples out, and he did this twice, recorded in the Synoptic Gospels, he sent his disciples out to preach the gospel. First time he sent out the 12. The second time he sent out 70 others also. This is recorded in Matthew chapter 9, Mark chapter 6, Luke chapters 9 and 10. You can read it there. But he sent them out to preach the gospel, and he sent them two by two. Now, I don't think that was an arbitrary choice. I don't think he picked that number out of the air. I think there was a reason why he sent them two by two. He did it twice. He did it with the 12. He did it with the 70. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit chose to record that he sent them two by two. So I think that's an important point that God wanted us to get. Why two? Why by two? Well, there are lots of reasons, I think, why we go two by two. Number one, I think we can encourage one another as we go. Sometimes we can get discouraged if the other partner there is there to help encourage us. Number two, to pray with us as we go. One does the talking, the other prays. Number three, to handle distractions. One can handle distractions while the other presents the gospel. These are just a few of the reasons. Now, sometimes you have a beginner who's just trying to learn to win souls, and he goes to observe and to pray. If you have a person who's more experienced, then during the course of the conversation, you can decide which one's going to present the gospel. But only one should present the gospel. And the way you determine that is you find out, well, who's got something in common with the person we're talking to? Maybe you share the same occupation, or you share the same relative or the same neighbor, but you have something in common with that person. Usually that person is the one you want to present the gospel. So during the course of the conversation, you decide who will be the silent partner and who will present the gospel. So the Lord chose to send them out two by two. Now, when you go, the devil's going to do what he can to disrupt the presentation of the gospel. It may be the phone rings. It may be a child. It may be an animal. It may be a salesman comes door to door. Or a visitor comes to the house. All kinds of things the devil can use to disrupt the presentation of the gospel. That second person can handle those disruptions while the first person is presenting the gospel. So we go two by two. Now, how do we go? Well, we ought to go prepared. Now, one way you go prepared is you go by having prayed before you go. Pray for souls. Pray for those people you're about to witness to. If you don't know them personally, pray for them anyway. One thing I always like to do and don't always get the opportunity to do is if you're working a given area, go walk that area. Pray for the houses that are in that area and the people who live in those houses. Ask God to give you a burden for them and to give you wisdom how to deal with the people who live in those houses. Two by two. That's how he sent them out. I believe that's the way we ought to go, two by two. We need folks to come out during visitation so we can have more teams. We need you out here. Amen. You need to be here. God hath chosen you and ordained you to go and bring forth fruit. He chose me. He chose you to go. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be a Book of Acts church. Do you want to be a Book of Acts church? In order for us to be a Book of Acts church, we've got to be Book of Acts Christians. And a Book of Acts Christian prays. We talked about that, didn't we? Read the Book of Acts. In 11 of the first 12 chapters of the Book of Acts, prayer is mentioned in every one of those chapters. When there was an issue that needed to be addressed, they prayed. We need to be a praying people. Number two, they were people of the book. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. We ought to be people of the book. We ought to read our Bibles every day. Thirdly, they were faithful. They were all with one accord in one place, the Bible says. We need to be faithful, faithful in church attendance, faithful in prayer life, faithful in Bible reading, faithful in soul winning. Now, I don't think it's essential that we all go soul winning on Tuesday, but we all ought to go soul winning. And if we're not going soul winning, we're backslidden. I'll say it again. If we're not going soul winning, we're backslidden. Amen, preacher. He said to his apostles, the Bible says that he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and that remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses. You are the witnesses to these things. He's talking about me. He's talking about you. We're to be the witnesses. You know, if there's no witness, no one will be saved. So he sent them by two. in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. You can turn there if you like. It's a very interesting passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us. Committed unto us. Now, who is us? As Christians, saved people, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's the gospel. Now look at verse 20. Now then, we, and who's we? Christians, saved people. We are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. Now, what is an ambassador? He's a representative. And what does he represent? Or more accurately, whom does he represent? He represents the political authority of a country. That's what an ambassador does. He represents the political authority of a country. We are ambassadors. What country? And who's the political authority? God himself. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the authority. We are his ambassadors. When you go and knock on somebody's door, there's somebody knocking on that person's door. That somebody is an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And he has a message to deliver. An important message. The most important message that that person behind that door will ever hear. Do we understand what a blessed privilege it is to be his ambassador? How should we go? For example, how should we dress? If I came and knocked, let's suppose I came and knocked on your door and said, I'm the ambassador for the United Kingdom, and I'm wearing tennis shoes and blue jeans and a t-shirt. And maybe a ball cap. Would you believe I was the ambassador for the United Kingdom representing the Queen of England? Would you? We represent something far higher than the United Kingdom or the Queen of England. We represent the King of Kings. It's important when we go like a representative for the King of Kings. What am I saying? I'm saying it's important the way you dress when you go. Does that mean you have to wear the best you have? No. But you ought to be presentable. You ought to represent him well. I believe a fellow ought to wear. A dress shirt. A tie. This is what I believe. I ought to put my best foot forward. I'm representing him. All I can say about that, brother, is I am who I am. I can't apologize for that. I am who God made me to be. And I don't understand why that would be difficult to approach. Perhaps somebody would like to expand on that, but I don't understand why. I worked for IBM for 10 years. They required, at that time, if you worked for IBM, you wore a suit and a tie and a white shirt. In fact, some required you wear a blue suit. They called IBM Big Blue. Why did they require that? I'm going to tell you why. Some of the experts have examined in the sales environment. First impressions are very important. They say that a person begins to form a first impression in the first 4 seconds of meeting you. And within 30 seconds, they've already established that impression. The first 30 seconds. And most of that impression is based, in fact, they say 95% of that first impression is based upon how you are dressed. It's important how we dress. If we want to reach people. Now, is that going to work for everybody? No. Some folks may be happy if you don't wear a suit or you don't wear a tie or you wear a t-shirt. But that's not the majority. What I'm trying to offer you here is what I believe are guidelines. You have to decide for yourself. But I've been doing this since 1968. So next year we'll make what, 50 years? 50 years I've been doing this. I think I've learned something in 50 years that I would like to pass on. So If we're prepared now to go, we're going to go and we're going to knock on doors. We need to understand that we are ambassadors delivering a very important message to people behind that door who need this message. These people are lost people. People without hope. People with real needs. And most often they don't know what those needs are. They think they need money when what they really need is Jesus. They think they need health when what they really need is Jesus. They think they need a car when what they need is Jesus. They think they need a job when what they really need is Jesus. We're delivering a very important message to them. How blessed are those people behind that door? That today, somebody is going to come and knock on their door and deliver to them the most important message they will ever hear. What a blessing. Now, will they all receive it? No. No. But they'll have the opportunity. And that's what we're delivering to them, is an opportunity to hear the gospel and respond to that gospel and have their lives changed and their eternal destiny changed. What a blessed privilege that is. And how few people will ever experience that. Most people will never have anyone knock on their door. And many of them who do, it'll be a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or somebody with a false message. How many people will have someone knock on their door with the true gospel? Very few. 8 billion people on this planet, how many of them will ever hear the gospel? I don't know, but those people we knock on their door this week will get to hear it. Huh? We're going to give some folks an opportunity. The greatest opportunity they'll ever have. To hear the gospel. I would encourage you, if you're not involved in soul winning, get involved. I asked the question earlier, how many want this church to be a Book of Acts church? How many? Can I see your hands? How many? Almost everyone. How many of you are willing to do what's necessary to make this a Book of Acts church? Would you be willing to do that? All right. It's almost universal. How many would agree and commit this morning to pray for some lost soul this week by name? If you would you raise your hand? Amen. God bless you all over the room. One more question. How many would commit to talk to some lost soul this week and give them the gospel message? How many would agree to do that this week? Commit to it. All right. Not all of us. Why not? Why not all of us? Should it be all of us? It does require a commitment, folks. It requires a commitment on our part that we're going to be Book of Acts Christians. We're going to win souls. We're going to knock on doors. We're going to tell people about Jesus. I trust, I pray that you'll do that this week. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the time we've had, and thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have a part in your work.